be with prayer. Father, we want to thank you for God's care for us and for God's given us this book of Genesis, entire Old Testament and New Testament, whereby we can read it and to be able to understand that thou hast provided salvation for us. Allow us to learn things today from chapter 20 of Genesis that will allow us to become better servants of thine. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so, Father, when he's here today, we're going to go over the quiz from last time. And so, Bill, we'll start with you.
All right, the first question. Who said, "Shall not the judge of all the earth do right," from Genesis 18:25? Abraham.
Abraham, that's right. Abraham said that. All right, the question two, Joanne. You may want to look at this is a key verse.
Well, he's working. He said that if he finished, he would come by.
Okay.
This is kind of a hard question, Joanne, because it's asking for a key verse from Genesis chapter 18. So you look real quick and see if you come up with something.
Well, how about verse 12?
What's verse 12 say?
Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old?"
That's
a good one. I picked verse 14, but there's several verses that you can call key verses.
Right. And what would be, what's verse 14 go?
That one is anything too hard for the Lord?
That's good.
At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.
Okay. Good. That's a good one. That's a good key verse. So we have the idea of Sarah laughing, and this is the promise that Sarah can have a son. Are you ready for your... How about you, Jack? You have a key verse from chapter 19.
A key verse?
Yes. No, number... is he number 3?
Number 18, yeah. Go do question number 3, Jack.
All right. Who sat in the gate of Sodom? Now, was Sodom related to Gomorrah?
It is. Yeah, there's kind of neighboring cities like Minneapolis, St. Paul, okay. like Budapest, or something like that. There was.
When I think of Sodom and Gomorrah, I think of homosexuality.
Okay, that's right. But who sat at the gate? Is the question. What do we know?
All right.
Look at Genesis 19:1, and we'll all be able to. That may give us an idea of what the answer to this question is. Genesis 19, verse 1. Over there?
Oh, I'm on 19.
Yes, okay. And look at verse 1.
Okay, verse 1, okay. And there came two angels of to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground.
So what's the answer?
Was it Lot?
Yeah, that's right. Lot's the answer. Lot's out against Sodom. Lot is the nephew of Abraham. All right, Tammy, next question, please.
Number 4. What was the significance or status of one who sat in the gate? They were leaders of the city. They were sort of like ambassador to greet the strangers that came in.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's good. Caroline, that gets to right there. You're moved.
No,
I'm not sure if it will be
okay. We can shut the door.
If the door's open, we can shut the door, okay. Next, number 5.
What type of bread did Lot serve on leaven?
I'm sorry, it was unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. And question number 6, Bill.
Who said, "Do not so quickly," from Genesis 19:7? Lot.
Yeah, Lot said that. And Joanne, number 7.
Why did both the small and the great men weary themselves to find the door? Genesis 19:11. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. So they wearied themselves to find the door. So they were made blind.
They were made blind. That's why they're having a hard time finding the door. 8. Question number 8. Check.
Why did Lot try to convince to leave the city?
Who? I want to know.
Who?
Who did Lot try to convince?
Okay, who am I trying to convince?
Matthew 14.
Yeah, I'm doing
that. Read it. Read the verse,
John. I'm going to read it. And Lot went out, his spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Looks like it was his sons-in-law.
Yeah, that's right. We want to convince his sons-in-law, I believe, and his other, he must have had at least two other daughters, right? At least four daughters in all, plus a few more. We had one of the two daughters that were not married, and plus we have sons-in-law, that means there's more than one son-in-law, so at least had four daughters that we know about. Tammy, next question, please.
Who lingered? Genesis 19:16, Lot.
Yes. Lot lingered. Caroline, I want to try the next question, please.
Haven't understand it.
Okay, let's this is list at least three themes found in Genesis 19. Now, what I'm looking for, like an idea. It would be better to say idea, maybe, or is that an idea or one idea.
Something
that, am I looking for an idea, or am I looking for a different word here? We were talking about this, Tammy. Instead of theme, is the word idea, or is the word
idea or message, something like that?
Something that chapter 19 is about. One event that happened in chapter 19. That's what I'm hunting for. One event from chapter 19.
Bread?
Okay, they served unleavened bread. Okay, that's one event. That's good. So any other themes?
Fleeing the city.
Fleeing the city, that's right. That's another theme.
Came up with two things.
Okay, well, what's one of the ones we came up with, Bill?
The punishment of Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness.
Okay.
And then the sin of Lot's daughters resulted in two new tribes.
Yes, that's right. That's good. Who else doesn't have a chance to share a theme here? Amy, did you share yours?
I have a few.
Okay, what's some of your themes?
Well, I thought of these different verses that came to mind.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 15:33 it says, evil communications corrupt good manners.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened to Lot.
Yes.
I mean,
that's
he
right.
was degraded by the city there. Mm-hmm. And then I thought about the in Luke, where it says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lot's wife and how
yes.
she turned back, and
mm-hmm.
she was more concerned with what was going on behind her than what, you know, God has told her
right.
to do or told her husband to do. And then the third one was about the verse in chapter 18 where it said that Abraham asked, he said something about that God will not judge the righteous with the wicked.
Okay. Yes. That's right. Those are good themes. Good themes, mm-hmm. good ideas of what's happening in this chapter. I mean, and I like how you brought in other verses from the New Testament kind of to apply with these verses, you know, to kind of make application with what the Old Testament principles, what we learn in the Old Testament, we have explained more in detail for the New Testament, all these different things. Okay, let me see. Who's, I guess it's your turn, Bill. Next
yep.
question.
What are the two things that Lot, his wife, and his two daughters were not to do from Genesis 19:17? They were not to look behind and don't stay in the plain.
Right, that's right. Not look back, and they were staying in the plain. Okay, Joanne, take the next question, please.
Into what city did Lot enter? That was Zur. Is that right? Zur?
Yeah, that's right.
Was
that
on the plane?
It may have been. That's a good question, but I think it may have been.
It seems like they did both things.
But they didn't want to, yeah, they did.
Both things they were committed not to do.
That's right. They said they didn't want to. Yeah, that's right, because they didn't want to go to the mountains because it was too hard. So it may have been somewhere in the plainal territory. That's a good observation, Tammy. Jack, your question.
Okay. In what city did Lot enter?
No, I said that Zur.
Zur?
Number 14. I'm sorry.
And 13. What did the Lord...
Let me guess the 13. What did the Lord rain upon Sodom and Gomorrah? He punished them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So look, read verse 24.
Read verse
24.
All right. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He punished them then with brimstone and fire.
That's right. With brimstone and fire. And Tammy, next question, please.
What became of Lot's wife? She became a pillar of salt.
Good. And Bill, take question 15, please.
We're going to skip over.
Carolyn, I'm sorry.
What did Abraham see? Smoke?
Yeah, so smoke of a furnace. That's right, he saw smoke. And
smoke or smoke of a furnace?
He saw a smoking furnace. Burning smoke of a furnace is what he saw. The smoke of a furnace. All right, Bill?
Okay, where did Lot choose to dwell? A cave in a mountain.
In a cave in a mountain, that's correct. And Joanne, question number 17, I guess it is.
What did the two daughters of Lot do? Let's see, without looking at it, if I remember correctly, they didn't have any children, so they laid with their father.
Then they made them drink wine before they did that.
Okay.
So in
32 to 33.
Verse 18.
Was it wine grape juice or was it without
wine? Fermented wine. Which fermented wine may cause him to lose his senses.
Okay.
Yeah, come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father.
And question number 18, Jack.
Of whom is the firstborn son the father?
So this is not quite phrased the best way, but
firstborn bear a son and call his name Moab.
Moab, okay. That's right, and he is the... Keep on reading.
Keep on reading the verse.
The same is... Right. I'm sorry.
Let me...
1935.
Okay, no, I'm getting him on 37. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The name is the father of the Moabites unto the day.
So, who's the son the father of? The Moabites, right?
Moabites.
Are the Moabites, are they God's people? Are they the Jewish people, Moabites?
Well, they are not. But they are, we have the Messiah coming from, because we don't remember Ruth.
Yeah,
Ruth was from the land of Moab.
Okay.
You know, so Ruth is the great grandmother of David. You know, the great grandmother, the great great grandmother. I think it's the great grandmother of David, king of Israel. And so she's from Moab. But they're not considered one of the tribes.
Okay.
You know, they're separate. Thank you for shutting that door. Make some more.
I hope if Ed comes,
he'll be able to knock or walk in or something. So, Tammy, I guess you get the question number 19.
What is the name of the younger sister's son? Ben-Ami.
Ben-Ami. Okay, and Caroline, you get another easy one, number 20.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, in the space provided, I'm asking, in the space provided, write the key verse of Genesis chapter 19. So, just like
one of
the key verses, what would you say will be a key verse of chapter 19.
I don't know.
You know, of all the verses in this chapter, what would be a verse that would be one that would be... Okay.
I've been on it all day today, and I can't get my head at all.
Okay.
I can't.
Well, what was your key verse, Tammy?
Well, I had a couple, but I chose Genesis 19:26. When his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
May not be the very key verse.
Right. I think that's good. You know, that's a verse that we all remember. Mm-hmm. And when we remember about Lot's wife becoming a pillar of salt, because we do have, in the New Testament, I believe, remember Lot's wife. Mm-hmm. And so, just by the fact that mentioning Lot's wife, we have everything that's involved in the account with the life of Lot. And all the different things, by saying, remember Lot's wife, you know, but there's all sorts of things to remember, like over when people visit you know, over there in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, the places where the U.S. found there's some type of visiting place, people writing to remember Pearl Harbor. You know, because by remembering Pearl Harbor, it encompasses the entire conflict we had, you know, in the Pacific. No.
There's several possibilities. I mean, you're talking about World War II. You could talk about the landing at Normandy,
too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Or the Battle of the Bulge.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot of
there are all sorts of things.
Or the dropping of the nukes on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Every chapter of the Bible has a number of key verses,
yes.
too.
Right.
I chose verse 13 for that.
Yeah, what do you want to read it for us?
For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord hath sent us to destroy it.
Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Now, Joy, this is going to be a little challenging for you because you haven't had an opportunity to review chapter 20. So you mean, but what's the, what would be, this is the chapter we've been talking about today. What's the theme of chapter 20?
The theme of chapter 20 or 19, you mean?
Oh, chapter 20.
The theme of chapter 20,
the next chapter.
I that's where Abraham lies and says that that's his sister.
Yes, that's correct.
Rather than his wife.
Right.
But he's on a technicality because it actually was his
sister. A half-sister, that's right. A half-sister, good. That's good. Anyone have any other themes?
The integrity of Abimelech.
That's good. That's good, Dan. The integrity of Abimelech.
Because he didn't lie with Sarah, for one thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the Lord spoke to him, and he challenged the Lord about justice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's... he said...
So he was a godly man in order to communicate with God like that.
Because
yes.
He asked the question, are going to destroy also a righteous nation? He asked the
mm-hmm.
question.
Yep.
My question. Tammy?
Isn't Gerar, isn't that where the Philistines are?
I think that might be correct, yeah. Because later on in chapter 21, or either later on in 20 or in 21, well, that's the land of the Philistines just mentioned. So I think Gerar may be one of their, part of the country or part of the territory.
Okay.
Philistia. I think you might be right. Jack, you get question 22.
Why did the king of Gera take Sarah?
Genesis 20, verse 2.
I'm looking for 20. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister, and Adlich the king of Gur sent and took a Sarah. did he take her to Gur?
It's why. Why, not where, why. Why did the king take Sarah? Now, if what's said here in this verse 2, it doesn't say that Sarah was Abraham's wife, the king thought that Sarah was the sister of Abimelech, primary sister of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And so consequently, you know, it's not to take someone's sister with intent of marrying her is not wrong. But to take someone's wife with intent of marrying her would be wrong. I mean, we don't want to take anyone against their will. But the idea of he was led to believe that Sarah was the sister of Abraham and not the wife. And so that's what led him to take.
So basically, he was misinformed.
He was misinformed, or he was deceived.
Right. He was deceived.
Whatever happened.
I mean, basically, he committed a sin because he took his wife, but he didn't mean to do that. He really didn't know that.
Right, but he didn't take her and actually go through with any marriage whatsoever. So
he got prevented at first sight.
Yeah, he probably was. All right, Tammy, please take the next question.
So what would be the answer then?
Because he thought she was Abraham's sister. That's what I put down. I'm not sure what you have.
Well, then you could say because she was fair.
Yes, that's true. That's another good reason, because she was attractive and furthermore than Abimelech thought she was available. No, so because the sister would be available, not the wife. That's good, Bill. Good, I'm glad you pointed that out. That was another reason.
Yeah, it seemed awful sudden.
Mm-hmm, yep.
She must have been something.
At 90?
Oh, she was 90?
Sure, she was 90 years old at that time.
Oh, well, maybe he was.
Yeah, I kind of wonder about that. There must not be very many women in this country.
Okay. Tim, you're next, right?
Why did Abimelech say, Lord, wilt thou, I think it's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be, yes.
Also slay a righteous nation.
Yeah, it's supposed to say wilt, okay.
Because the Lord was going to kill him. It says, behold, thou art a dead man. He had a dream.
Right.
And dream that, you know, he found out that she was his wife, and he's a righteous nation.
Yes.
Because he didn't do anything wrong. He was free of sin.
Yes, that's right.
He didn't sin.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Caroline, number 24, please.
Why did Abimelech give to Abraham women's servants?
That's one of the women's servants, okay. And also in addition to that, sheep and oxen.
And men's servants.
And men's servants, that's right.
And he gave Sarah back.
And he gave Sarah back. That was another thing. He gave also, he had Sarah came back. That's right. I think the last question there, Bill.
How much silver did Abraham receive? 1,000 pieces.
1,000 pieces of silver. So if anyone is watching today and they would like to send a question or comment, please send that question or comment to questions at BFTPC.
How much silver?
1,000 pieces of silver.
Okay.
Send that to questions at BFTPC.org, and we'll be able to get that question answered, possibly. And I have my equipment working a little bit better today than the last couple times. So we do have some backlog emails from a couple other things from Friday, from Thursday. But if anyone is listening today, please send an email to questions at bftpc.org. But let's start with verse 1 of chapter 20.
And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar.
Verse 2, Joanne.
And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah.
Verse 3, Joanne.
Chapter 20.
Yeah, I'm heading to chapter 20.
Here, right there.
Okay.
Alright,
number 3?
Yes, that's right.
Oh. But Bob came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife.
But Abimelech had not come near her. And he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation?
Said he not unto me, she is my sister, and she herself said, he is my brother in the integrity of my heart, and in decency of my hands have I done this.
And God said to him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in integrity of thine heart, for I withhold thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. All right, so we have the situation in Genesis chapter 20, that Abraham is on his journey. He's changing locations from where he was before, and he's going to the land of Gerar. And so, it says in the scripture, Kadesh, south country, dwell between Kadesh and Shur. And this is we were familiar with Kadesh Barnea over there in the land of Israel. And so it's between these two places. I came always mentioning kind of in territory where the Philistines eventually would become and would be dwelling. And so as they are traveling there, Abraham probably reiterates something or says to Sarah, you know, in the course, it seems later on, they had the standing agreement with each other that this is what the policy would be, that they would say, she would say that she's the sister and he's the brother. But,
was this the second time they did this?
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
This time was in Egypt.
Yeah, this was the second time.
The second time, that's correct. And so Abraham told the people there, the inhabitants, that this woman I'm with is my sister. Now, which again, as we were saying, as we were mentioning before, when, you know, that didn't tell somebody else, give the impression that a sister is, you know, is someone who would be available for someone else to marry if they had any interest whatsoever. Henry.
I'm sorry, can I make a comment to
please
Bill's
go.
Comment about her age? Because I was just thinking, you know, Abraham's coming to this country and he's wealthy. He's like a king.
Mm-hmm.
And so
and Sarah was considered very beautiful.
Well, that's why.
Even at her age.
At 90, he would be like someone that would be comparable. I mean, he wouldn't just marry anyone, you know, the king, Abimelech. He would look for someone that was, you know, a queen type person. And so
yeah, I was kind of joking when I thought, you know, that was kind of sudden, instant love.
<you know? laughs> So she was rich.
Abraham was very rich.
Yeah,
so
he didn't need that extra 1,000 pieces of silver, but I wouldn't have turned it away either.
Yeah, Abraham was very rich, but you know what? God could have taken it away from him.
That's right.
Yeah, just like he did to Job.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. He could have. You know, so that's a good thought. You know, about how he was a king-like figure, and how, you know, Sarah would be a counterpart, a good counterpart for Abimelech to have as far as being on the same par. You know,
far
as being here, we hear of even with the people there in England, you know, there are exceptions. I think there was a couple exceptions. I can't remember any. I'm not a student of history, so I don't know. But there are some of the kings and queens of England that have married what they call commoners. You have an example off the top of your head, Diana?
Well, Diana was kind of a commoner.
Yes.
I mean, not exactly, but she was more of a commoner than. I'm not sure exactly what class she was. I mean, she was still, you know, one of the higher ones, but she wasn't quite in the same class, and that's why the queen never accepted her.
She was still a Spencer, though.
Yeah, she was. Diane Spencer, that's right.
My great-grandmother was a Spencer.
Really?
Yeah.
It related to
I don't know if they were actually related or not, but they had the same last name.
Yes, that's right. Well, what would you think they were?
If they were related, that's too distant to know.
Yeah. So
when they came to America, they had to give up their title. So she could have had a title. And
oh, well, my great-grandmother didn't have a title. I know that for a fact.
But I'm saying...
She married a shoemaker,
I know,
so she couldn't have had a title.
A shoemaker?
Yeah.
No, it's just funny.
My great-grandfather, that's what he did. He was an Irish... Yeah, he was an Irish shoemaker.
He made them and you sold them.
So your great-grandparents actually came.
From England.
I wonder, was the Ellis Island open at that time? It was only open for a very short time. But that would have been...
I don't think they came in on Ellis Island. You know, they came into Philadelphia. The port
right after it was closed then.
Yeah, that would have been
around 20, eight.
Oh no, earlier than that. These are my great grandparents.
Oh, your great grandparents. Okay.
Yeah, that was in like 1880, okay, somewhere thereabouts.
Okay. Yeah, right. Ellis Island.
Ellis Island was up in New York, right?
But I think they came into Philadelphia though.
Huh. Well, that I don't think Ellis Island was really open until the 1900s.
Right, it was only open for a very short time.
Yeah,
that's right.
They ran out of hoagies.
Yeah, they probably did.
That's where it was invented, you know.
Okay, at Ellis Island.
Yes.
All right. I know that.
People were sitting around waiting. They had lunch meat. They had cheese. And I guess they had bread, and they came up with probably the greatest invention of the 20th century, the submarine sandwich.
Well, this is an interesting story.
Yeah. Oh, man, what a great idea.
And after they ran out of hoagies, did they invent pizza?
Pizza's been around a little longer than that.
Okay. So, hoagies were invented in Ellis Island. That's interesting.
That's what I heard. Right. I saw it on one of those documentaries on television.
Yes.
Unless they got their facts wrong. That's,
I believe
that's what they
it's
led
very,
me to believe.
It's very interesting. It's very believable. Yeah. So, we have here Abraham and Sarah coming to this country. So, they are informing the people that this Sarah is the sister of Abraham, and Abraham is the brother of Sarah.
Oh, I get it now.
You know, and so...
I get it now.
What is it?
Tammy's point. It took a while to sink in. When Abimelech saw Sarah, he was looking at her jewels, and he realized she was rich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't love at all. Greed.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so we have here the king of Abimelech. He comes with... Abimelech, Melech is the word for king. And so we have, it's like a title, more or less. But we have him taking Sarah, because he believes Sarah is the wife of Abraham. But in verse 3, we have God. God coming to Abraham.
To Abimelech.
Thank you. Coming to Abimelech in the dream. And he's saying, you're a dead man, for you've taken another man's wife. Abimelech responds, I've not come near, I've touched her. And then he says, that he asks this question, will they also slay a righteous nation? Now he's making reference here to what had just occurred in the weeks, months prior to Sodom and Gomorrah, who was an unrighteous nation, who was a wicked nation, and God came and judged that nation. Because there weren't even 10 righteous people who were in that nation. And so God killed it, destroyed it. And so Abimelech here is asking the question, are you also going to destroy a righteous nation? Or something that he was misled. He responded, she said, in verse 5, she said he not unto me, she is my sister. And he also indicates that Sarah agreed to this, that she was the sister. And then he talks about the integrity of the heart of done this.
He was a righteous man.
Yes, he was. He was. What he says here, verse 6, is very interesting. Or what God says. He says, you know, that God withheld him. God said in verse 6, for I withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffer I not to touch her. So the point that we need to understand is God said, from sinning against me. Not necessarily sinning against Sarah, sinning against Abraham, but sinning against me. By breaking that commandment, by sinning, by having to commit the sin of adultery unknowingly, it's sinning against God. not only is it sinning against the parties that involve the husband and the wife, but God emphasizes the fact that it's sinning against him. And so when we sin, we have transgressions among each other. You know, when we sin, it's a sin against God.
Yeah, and at the same time, God is saving Abimelech from that sin.
Yes, he is. He's preventing him from committing that sin. It's a prevention that's happening, that's taking place. Thoughts on verses 1 to 6. Any thoughts on verses 1 to 6 here of chapter 20? I'm going to read verse 7, please.
Now, therefore, restore the man, his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine.
Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, and called all his servants, and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid.
Can I read it?
Yes, please, sir.
Okay. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, What hast thou done unto us? And what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought unto me and my kingdom a great sin? And thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done.
And Abimelech said unto Abraham, What sawest thou? That thou hast done this thing.
And Abraham said, Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake.
And yes, indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. So, in verse 7, God told Abimelech to restore the man, and he mentions, this is very interesting, he's a prophet. Usually we don't think of Abraham as a prophet, but the scripture here, at least in a few places, and here's one of them, talks about Abraham being a prophet. And he talks about how restored, and the prophet Abraham will pray for Abimelech. This is a good reminder, we need to pray for people that we have, that we know. And Abimelech was a king, was a ruler. Abraham, God told Abimelech that he would pray for him. So we have different rulers, governors. In fact, we have senators, and we have a senatorial election tomorrow in the state of New Jersey, special election. One of our senators had died in office, and so many weeks or months after the death, you have to fill the office with a special election or by appointment. And so this is a reminder for us to pray for people. And God told Abimelech, he gave him this assurance that Abraham would pray for him because he's a prophet.
Right, next month we have the gubernatorial election.
Yes, we do, don't we? That's coming up next month, too, in November. Yeah. The first Monday after the first Tuesday of November.
Right, Tuesday is election day. I think it's, what is it, the 4th?
The 4th or the 5th, yeah, one of the 2 days, whatever the Tuesday is.
Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
You said the first Monday after the first Tuesday.
First Tuesday after the first Monday, I'm sorry. I got back to the story. First Tuesday after the first Monday.
But I knew where you were coming from.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's Tuesday. But the special election is on a Wednesday. And I'm not sure what the math is at. Maybe it's X number of days after the death of the senator that died in office. I'm not positive.
Yeah, what's his name?
Lautenberg.
It was Frank Lautenberg.
That's right, Frank Lautenberg.
Actually, he was a Jew.
Was it? That's right.
Yes.
No, we won't hold that against him.
No, we won't. So, we have here Abraham being told that Abraham is a prophet, and that he will pray for him, and furthermore, we're told that God was the one that prevented Abimelech from sinning against him. It was God that intervened, because he said, you know, if thou restore her not, thou shalt surely die, thou and all that thou hast. So this is, God is serious. So sin, the judgment will come if Abimelech sins. And so the right thing, when Abimelech says, well, thus slay also a righteous nation, there was a possibility that if Abimelech had continued on with his intentions, that God would have come and would have judged Abimelech for his sin. But Abimelech responded in the proper way. The next morning, he arose in the morning time, he told everybody, she's off limits, she belongs to somebody else, she's another man's wife, don't touch her. And everyone was afraid. They responded with fear. Sadly, in our day and age, people don't respond that way anymore when it comes to sin. They pursue it, and they try to embrace it, and try to seek after it. Now, after Abimelech told the servants what was going on, then he called for Abraham in verse 8, and he asked him a very important question: what hast thou done to us? And see, the sin, the deception not only affected Sarah, Abimelech, it affected a whole group of people. And he asked the question, what have I offended thee that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? So again, Abraham offends, and in a pure sense, offend means to cause to sin. Offend in a very pure way means to cause to sin. But thus be thus deeds unto me that ought not have been done. In other words, he was actually causing them, like, or giving him a false sense of what he was doing was right when it was really wrong. He was leading him, he was being deceptive, leading him astray, and Abimelech thought, in this particular instance, thought that Sarah was the sister, thought that she was available for marriage, but yet she wasn't. She belonged, and she was married to Abraham, and she was not available for marriage. And he asked the question, why have you done this? Why have you done this thing? And the response to Abraham was, well, he thought, well, I didn't think there was any fear of God in this place. So that gave him justification why he did what he did. But that's no not a reason. And then he tried to justify his answer. Because she said in verse 12, she says, yes, for indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not my mother. So they had a common father. Sarah and Abraham had a common father, but they both had different mothers. So there was Abraham's father had two wives, apparently. And daughters, one of the children of the wife, married Abraham. And so, thoughts on verses 1 to 12. Any thoughts on verses 1 to 12?
Well, this is sort of like a like the previous example. I mean, he was afraid, and so instead of trusting God, which, I mean, obviously God was, providing him with a godly king that he could have had fellowship with. He could have been a blessing to. He was a curse to him.
Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's correct. He could have been a blessing and encouragement to him. Instead, it was just the opposite. Jack, what do you have thought about this, or?
No thought.
Okay. Bill, pick up with verse 13, please.
And it came to pass, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said unto her, this is thy kindness which thou shalt show unto me at every place whither we shall come. Say of me, he is my brother.
And Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife.
Verse 15, Jack?
And I thought you were going to comment on those. That's
okay.
Why I held on.
I'm sorry. That's okay.
All right. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee. Dwell where it pleaseth thee.
And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved.
So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abelites and his wife and his maidservants, and they bear children.
The Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So, what's occurring here? We have, you know, Abraham being confronted, and Abraham giving justification. I don't know if it's justification or some type of justification of why he's doing this. They're calling it in verse 13, he calls it a kindness. You know, show me this kindness that, you know, we're going to tell each other we're brother and sister rather than husband and wife, which, as it turned out, this doesn't seem like very, very wise wisdom or wise counsel that Abraham is giving.
They're backpedaling a little bit.
They are. They're trying to backpedal. That's correct. They're trying to backpedal and trying to give justification of why they're doing this. And so Abimelech doesn't have to do this, but he responds rather with anger. I mean, he probably had some type of disappointment. And there may have been a degree of anger. I don't know. It doesn't say. But rather than responding that way, he responds by giving Abraham something. Rather than responding in a negative way. I mean, he was very upset and shocked and very fearful and very didn't know what to think. But he responded by giving him Abraham oxen, by giving Abraham sheep, manservants. Abraham already had. He had a household of well over 300 male servants, based upon what we learned in the previous chapters with some conflicts that he was involved in. Well, 318 hired men who were able to go to war. And so each of those men probably had a wife, and there were children, and it was a big household that Abraham was responsible for.
A nation of Israel being established.
Right, that's right. As far as in this is just the before the birth of Isaac. He had this infrastructure of his household. And then Abimelech says, not only he says, Abraham, you can live any place you want in my land. He doesn't push him out of the land. He doesn't trust him out of the land for what Abraham did. He's very forgiving of what Abraham and Sarah had done unto him in their deception.
He probably understood. Yeah. He probably understood Abraham's purpose and,
right.
And everything.
Right. And then it's very interesting that he talks to Sarah directly. He says, Sarah, I've given Abraham, thy husband, 1,000 pieces of silver.
He says thy brother. He says thy brother.
Oh, he does say brother.
That's why he's approving her.
Okay, good observation. Yes, he does say brother. Thank you, Tammy.
I was always wondering why it says, thus she was reproved, but she...
Yeah, that makes sense.
He's calling her your brother. You know,
right.
It's like, you know, okay, here's your brother.
Right, and that's so, but by doing that, he first of all goes into covering, and then it was a reproof to her because of all the trouble they could get themselves into by continuing on with this brother-sister charade.
Now, with the brother, did he mean it as a biological brother, or did he mean it as a brother in Christ?
Initially, Abraham and Sarah were saying that they were brother and sister biologically, which they are half brother, half sister. In other words, they had a common father, different mothers. Abraham's father, whether one at a time or Abraham's first wife, Abraham's father's first wife died, and she married again. He married again, and he had another wife, and so, or perhaps he had two wives at the same time. Scripture's not clear. But we could say that for our sake of our thinking, Abraham's mother died, and then Abraham's father remarried, and 10 years later gave birth to Sarah.
But it's wrong. It's wrong to have two wives at the same time.
Right. Yeah. So that's why I said that Abraham's mother died and Abraham's father remarried.
Not necessarily in that time, though.
But yeah, in that time, people did have multiple wives. That's right.
Especially Abraham's father. We don't really know anything about him, but it would seem that he was a typical Iraqi.
Right here, let me see. I'm trying to think of
Chaldea.
Syrian, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Laban, and the Laban is considered Syrian. We don't know if they he may be practicing the custom of the culture, because Abraham's father was not necessarily a follower of God. We don't know that. Oh, Nahor, I guess.
Although, from Babylon, wasn't he?
Yes, he was from the area of Babylon, yes, or the Chaldees. That's right, the Chaldees.
That's Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Right, it is. And so, we have here Abraham, as God said, God told Abimelech that Abraham was a prophet, he would pray for him. And so in verse 17, we have Abraham praying to the Lord, and the Lord is healing Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, his very children. Apparently, there was something that was happening, not just with the household of Abimelech, but with the entire nation of Gerar, that they weren't able to bear children because of this potential sin that was about to occur. And so there was a prevention being taken place. And because in verse 18 it says, the Lord fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech. Why? Because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So there was something that was happening that God prevented them from having children. And so there was everyone in the countryside knew. I mean, occasionally you have a when everyone can't have children, their children, we know there's a divine providence that's involved in that. When there's a select group of people that aren't able to bear children, that's different. But here it was the whole country, whole nation. Verse 18. Verse 17. You see that verse 17, it says, Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife, his maidservants, and all the and their children. In verse 18, it says, verse 18 tells us why. It says, for the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife.
Does that mean the whole nation?
Well, the household. I guess it may not mean the whole nation. It means the household. I took it a little bit beyond the household. But, the household of Abimelech. Which could be, when we think of the household of Abraham,
right,
you know, it goes beyond just Abraham. It goes beyond
the servants,
all the servants, everybody in that household. Yeah. So, this is the chapter 20 of the book of Genesis. Thoughts anyone has on Caroline? How about you first? One thing you picked up from verses 1 to 20. Nothing. Verses 1 to 20. 1 to 18, I'm sorry, chapter 20. Nothing.
Nothing.
What, Tammy, how about you?
I think mostly I mentioned it as far as, you know, just, it was kind of the second happening, rather,
right,
of this time when Abraham could have been a blessing.
Yes.
He feared God, or he feared men,
right.
He feared the king of the land, and rather than trusting God.
Yes.
And it was obvious in how this played out that, you know, this was a righteous king, and
right.
he would have loved to have, you know, Abraham be honest with him.
Yes, that's right. He would have, and that things would have been completely different, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. Jack, some thoughts you have from chapter 20 of the book of Genesis. One thing you pick up in, one thing you like from chapter 20, one idea, one verse or something about chapter 20.
The punishment of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Okay.
Now I got a question about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Sure.
Okay. I know that they had something to do with homosexuality.
That's correct.
Okay. Was that why God punished them?
Yes.
Because homosexuality is against the Bible.
It is.
And it's against God.
It is. That's
and,
correct.
And they were committing a sin.
Yes, they were. They were.
An abomination.
Abomination, yes. The wickedness was great. Mm-hmm. And, Joanne, what's something you...
I think that God is trying to show Abraham that he doesn't need to lie or cheat or anything
right.
like that, that he's going to mm-hmm. take care of
yes.
him.
That's correct.
He appeared in a dream and whatever
mm-hmm.
else right. was necessary, so...
Right, that's right. God will take care of God. That was God showing him that, that he didn't have to, it's that God would take care of. Jack, were you finished with your thoughts?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. And Bill, how about you?
You asked me what thought I got from it.
Got good, good. And Bill, how about you? What's something that you want?
Mine was pretty much the same idea as Joanne's.
Okay.
Be honest.
Yes.
And tell it like it is.
Mm-hmm. Good. Be honest and that's very good. Be honest and tell it like it is. Anything else? Anyone else have any more additional thoughts, comments? If anyone was listening today, or maybe someone already sent an email, I missed it. I'll just refresh my email here.
Every chapter.
Good. Go ahead, Joanne, please.
Well, every chapter is showing that, you know, God's showing Abraham, yet he still doesn't seem to get it.
No.
I mean, because, you know, it was before with the city, and then, you know, now it's going to come up again in the next chapter, too.
That's right. Right, that's correct. And,
it's our human nature.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Especially in that time, considering, not too many people knew much about God. We have an advantage.
Right, we do.
Because we have the Bible, and we've read it so many times.
Yes.
Know, so, more natural for us to see these things.
That's right. That's right. The email, let me read this email for a moment. We have an email from, it says, hello to everyone. Thank you for today's study from Joe and Nora Fascio from California. We want to thank Nora for writing the email. And they're watching. Appreciate that. And our Bible study today. And if anyone else has any other questions or comments, please send them to questions at bftbc.org. That's questions at bftbc.org. And we'll be able to get your email either this time or later on. But we do appreciate you listening today. And next week we'll be in chapter 21. And we do have a quiz. If you want to get some of the class materials, you go to bftbc.org/Genesis. I think that's what it is. Let me still double check here. Yeah, Genesis. And then from there you'll be able to get access to quizzes. So bftbc.org/Genesis. And from that point you'll be able to access the quizzes. So, but would you please close your prayer today?
Father in heaven, we thank you for giving us a Bible which answers most of the questions, if not all, of the questions that could possibly come up in our lives. There's so many situations and circumstances that are described to us, and we learn from all of these things. And the learning continues throughout our lives. And you have provided us with these messages. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you.